Imagine for a second that you're walking down the street, right? And you stumble onto this brand new restaurant. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Okay, I'm with you.
But this isn't your standard, heat lamp pizza and stale dinner rolls kind of situation. This buffet is serving premium grade A Wagyu beef, fresh truffles.
Oh, wow. So the absolute most expensive delicacies on the planet.
Exactly. And you get to the front of the line, bracing yourself to hand over half your paycheck, and the host tells you the price is like the same as a cheap, greasy diner
You
breakfast.
probably look around for the hidden cameras, honestly.
Right. You'd think, well, this cannot possibly be real. Someone is taking a catastrophic financial loss just to put this steak on my plate.
Yeah, the math just doesn't work out.
It doesn't. But welcome to the deep dive, learner. Today we're looking at a setup that defies all rational economics in exactly that way. But instead of Wagyu beef, we are talking about the raw computing power of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, and we have a really fascinating set of developer field notes to unpack today. They're from March 5th, 2026, and the author titled them Claude Code Max, the most lopsided deal in AI.
The most lopsided deal. I love that phrasing.
It's totally accurate, too.
Ugh.
Basically, the author of these notes bypassed the sleek user interface of their AI coding assistant to expose the raw, unfiltered data of what this technology actually costs to run behind the scenes.
Which is something we rarely get to see.
Exactly. We're looking at a massive discrepancy between what developers are paying and the actual compute they're burning.
So to set the roadmap for you listening today, we are going to dig into the hidden math of this incredibly lopsided deal. We'll tear apart the mechanics of how a single developer can burn through billions of tokens in a matter of hours.
Billions with a B.
Yeah, it's wild. And then we'll look at the macroeconomic land grab that is driving one of the world's biggest AI companies to just intentionally bleed money.
It really is a land grab.
So, to fully grasp why the author considers this the most asymmetrical deal in tech right now, we really have to look at the stark reality of the underlying API costs, right? Because normally, building software with these foundational models is a strictly metered experience.
Right, usually developers pay for the exact volume of data the AI processes. Every single word or, token that the AI reads costs a tiny fraction of a cent, and every token it generates costs another fraction.
Which doesn't sound like much at first.
No, I mean, when you're just writing a few emails or brainstorming, those fractions stay small. But the author of these field notes is using the Claude Code Max plan.
The Max
Yeah,
plan.
which obscures that entire metered reality behind a single flat monthly subscription fee. So they wanted to find the ground truth of their actual usage.
Like, how much Wagyu beef am I really eating?
Exactly. So they installed a local tracking tool called Qsige.
Wait, Qsige? How does that work?
It's a program that just silently monitors their session logs locally. It calculates the true API equivalent cost of their daily work, meaning what they would have owed Anthropic if they were paying that a la carte per token price.
Okay, so what did the tool actually spit back?
The numbers are staggering. Just operating on their laptop over a period of 14 days, this single user burned through thousands of dollars in API equivalent compute.
Thousands, just on a laptop.
Just on the laptop. But the tracking didn't stop there because, developers often use remote cloud machines for heavy lifting.
Right, dev boxes.
Yeah, so this author ran the same AI assistant on a cloud dev box for server-side work. Over roughly 20 active days on that machine, the logs showed thousands of dollars more in compute usage.
My gosh.
Combined, a single month of usage represents tens of thousands of dollars in pure API equivalent compute.
Tens of thousands of dollars for 1 month. Put yourself in that developer's shoes for a second. Imagine opening up your AWS or your Anthropic billing dashboard at the end of a typical month of coding.
And seeing a $40,000 or $50,000 invoice waiting for you.
Yeah, that is the kind of financial shock that bankrupts small startups overnight. But this user is shielded from that entirely because they're paying that flat monthly fee.
Right, resulting in a value multiplier that the author calculates to be around 40 to 50 times the cost of the subscription.
40 to 50 times.
Yeah. The break-even point for the max plan, like the moment where your flat fee equals what you would have paid in API costs, is literally less than one single day of serious coding.
That is insane. It's like renting a car for $50 a day, right? You drive it cross country, and then you discover the rental company is secretly paying $2,000 a day just to keep the gas tank full for you.
That's a perfect analogy, except the rental company is actually taped over the gas gauge, so you don't even realize how much fuel you're burning.
Because they don't want you to see the true cost.
Exactly. Anthropic specifically designs the Max Plan dashboard so that it never surfaces these equivalent API costs to the user. Seeing a ticking meter of tens of thousands of dollars would terrify the average user. It would make them stop driving.
They want to maintain that illusion of infinite resources.
Right. It's crucial to the product experience they're selling. But, you know, the sheer volume of that usage naturally raises a mechanical question.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Like, if a developer is just typing on a keyboard, giving instructions to an AI, it seems physically impossible to generate tens of thousands of dollars in API calls in a couple of weeks.
Right. Human beings simply do not type fast enough or read fast enough to rack up that kind of bill through standard prompting.
Which means we need to break down the mechanism of what's actually happening under the hood here, because we are so conditioned by the standard chatbot paradigm. You know, you type a paragraph, you hit enter, the AI writes a paragraph back.
But if Claude Code operated like a chatbot, those numbers would just be a software glitch.
Exactly. But we aren't talking about chatbots anymore. We are dealing with agentic coding.
Right. It's an orchestration system. The AI is operating autonomously.
Wait, break that down for us. What does that actually look like in practice?
So the user gives the system a high-level complex objective, right? And the AI takes over. It breaks that objective down into smaller tasks, spins up multiple parallel threads of thought, and explores different solutions simultaneously.
So it's not just doing one thing at a time.
No, not at all. It's writing code, running tests, seeing if those tests fail, and then rewriting the code based on the errors, all without the human intervening.
Okay, let's make that abstract process a bit more concrete for the listener. Imagine you want to build a house, so you hire an architect. A chatbot architect would draw one blueprint, hand it to you, and wait for your feedback.
Yeah, very linear.
But an agentic architect operates completely differently. You tell them you want a house, and they immediately hire 50 separate junior architects to simultaneously draw 50 different blueprints for every room.
I love this, yes.
Then they build miniature models of all 50, smash the ones that don't look right, take the best parts of the survivors, and combine them into a final draft. It is this massive, chaotic deployment of parallel labor.
It is. And the invisible cost driver in all that parallel labor is the context window.
Ah, the context window.
Right, because large language models like Claude are stateless. They don't have a continuous running human memory.
So every time it does something, it has to remember everything all over again?
Exactly. Every single time one of those 50 parallel threads makes a decision, it has to be reminded of the entire state of the project. It has to pull massive chunks of the existing code base, the error logs, the previous steps, all of it into its active memory just to understand what to do next.
So if I'm understanding the mechanism correctly, it's like having to reread the entire English dictionary every single time you want to speak a single sentence just to make sure you remember what the words mean.
Yes. If your project has 100,000 lines of code, and the AI takes 50 separate steps to fix a bug, it isn't just reading the broken line of code. It is repeatedly scanning millions of lines of context over and over again for every single parallel thought.
Which explains the massive token burn.
Completely. And the tracking data for the field notes illustrates that exact mechanism perfectly. The author highlights two specific spike days in their development cycle. February 27th and March 2nd.
Spike days.
Yeah, these were days dedicated to heavy, complex coding tasks. The logs reveal that on February 27th, the cache reads, meaning the volume of code the AI had to scan and load into its short-term memory, hit 3.4 billion tokens.
Wait, 3.4 billion tokens in a single day.
In a single day. And a few days later, on March 2nd, it hit 2.4 billion tokens.
That is just the sheer scale of the computation is difficult to wrap your head around. On those specific spike days alone, the single day API equivalent costs exceeded the user's entire monthly plan cost by 6 to 8 times.
Yeah. And Anthropic isn't routing these massive context reads through some cheap, lightweight model just to save a few bucks either.
No.
No. The field notes point out that the system defaults to Opus 4.6 for all of these complex, heavy-lifting tasks.
Opus 4.6, that's the absolute top of the line in the Claude ecosystem.
It has the deepest reasoning capabilities and, obviously, the highest per-token API rates. The genius of the Max Plan's orchestration is that the user never has to manually toggle between models to manage costs.
It just handles it for you.
Right. The system autonomously grabs Opus 4.6 when it needs profound architectural analysis, and then automatically drops down to much cheaper, faster models like Sonnet or Haiku for simpler routine file operations. Mm. The orchestration ensures the absolute best model is deployed for every specific microtask.
But man, the terror of seeing a massive API bill generated by an autonomous system like that. It really brings us to the core psychological shift happening here.
Oh, absolutely. The human element.
We've mapped out the brutal mechanics of the hardware burn, but the author dedicates a significant portion of these notes to the human software, what they call the psychology of the meter.
That's such a great term for it.
It really is, because when you fully understand how incredibly expensive agentic coding should be, you start to see how an invisible price tag fundamentally changes the way a human being approaches creative problem solving.
Yeah, because under traditional API billing, every single architectural decision carries an immediate financial penalty.
Right.
The developer experiences this acute cost anxiety. You are staring at a complex bug, and you have to weigh the intellectual value of a solution against the literal dollar cost of finding it.
You're literally doing accounting in your head while trying to code.
Exactly. You ask yourself, should I tell the AI to do another deep research pass? Well, that's going to require Opus 4.6 tokens. Should I have it run 5 parallel tests instead of 2? That's going to triple my cache reads for the next 10 minutes.
Mm. That anxiety forces the developer to adopt a mindset of extreme conservatism. You stop being an engineer and you start acting like an accountant.
Which is the worst way to build software.
The rational behavior on a metered plan is to keep the AI on a tight leash. You manually force the system to use cheaper models like Sonnet, even when you know Opus would yield a better result.
Right.
You throttle the number of parallel explorations. You are deliberately hobbling the intelligence of the machine to protect your wallet.
Which completely defeats the foundational purpose of the tool. The entire value proposition of agentic coding is that the AI should burn its compute so the human doesn't have to burn their time.
Yes.
If the human is stepping in to ration the compute, they are reintroducing the exact bottlenecks the technology was built to eliminate. The financial conservatism directly degrades the quality of the final output.
Think about being stuck in the back of a taxi in brutal, gridlocked city traffic. If that taxi meter is ticking, you are miserable.
Oh, I hate that feeling.
You're sitting there sweating, watching the digital numbers climb higher and higher while you move nowhere. You start doing the math in your head, and eventually the stress gets so bad that you tell the driver to pull over. You jump out and walk the last 20 blocks in the rain just to stop the financial bleeding.
In there.
But if you take that exact same ride, in the exact same traffic, on a flat prepaid rate, the psychology completely flips.
Totally. You sit back, put on a playlist, and let the driver figure out the best detour.
Exactly. You do not care if they idle for 20 minutes because you aren't paying for the idle time.
And by offering the max plan, Anthropic is completely removing that ticking taxi meter from the developer's mind. There is zero economic pressure to self-censor.
Which is so freeing.
It is. If a complex problem requires the depth of Opus 4.6, the developer lets the system use Opus 4.6 without a second thought. They allow the orchestration to spin up as many parallel threads as it needs to solve the problem perfectly, rather than just adequately.
And the author notes that removing this cost anxiety improves the final software in ways that are impossible to measure with a simple token count. The human is finally free to act as a true creative director.
You are steering the ship.
Yeah, you're setting the vision and letting the machine labor unconstrained in the engine room. It sounds like absolute developer heaven.
It is an incredibly empowering environment for the user, but, and this is a big, but it demands that we look at the macroeconomic reality of the companies providing it.
Right, because Anthropic is not a charity.
They are definitely not a charity. We've established they are taking a massive calculated loss on every single power user who spins up billions of tokens a day. To understand why they would willingly absorb tens of thousands of dollars in compute costs for a $50 subscription, we have to recognize the SaaS software as a service playbook.
Oh, yeah. Being executed on an unprecedented scale.
Unprecedented.
It looks like a classic landlord, yeah, right? Severely subsidizing the product to hook the user and starve out the competition. It's the exact same strategy Uber used in the early 2010s.
Right, the venture capital subsidy.
For years, every time you took an Uber, the ride was artificially cheap because venture capital firms were secretly paying the other half of your fare. The company was willing to torch billions of dollars in cash just to change consumer behavior.
They wanted you to get so accustomed to tapping a button for a car that calling a traditional cab company felt archaic.
And it worked.
It did. And the financials of the SaaS playbook practically demand this kind of aggressive subsidization when dealing with infinite switching costs.
Wait, infinite switching costs?
Yeah, so Anthropic's ultimate goal is absolute ecosystem lock-in. They want developers so deeply integrated into the Claude environment that using these specific agentic loops becomes muscle memory.
I see.
They want developers building their entire daily routines, their deployment pipelines, and the very architecture of their projects around the unique strengths and quirks of Opus 4.6.
Because once that muscle memory is set, the developer is trapped. If you have spent 18 months building a complex software infrastructure that relies entirely on how Claude code handles cache reads and parallel processing,
you cannot simply drag and drop that workflow over to an OpenAI or a Google competitor on a Tuesday afternoon.
Exactly. Your productivity would collapse. You would have to rewrite your entire methodology. The switching costs become so enormous that Anthropic is essentially paying developers today to ensure they become hopelessly dependent on Anthropic's infrastructure tomorrow.
And source material provides hard evidence of this dependency forming right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the author explicitly names several complex projects they build during this period. Projects called PanPanMao, MioV1, and MioV2.
Okay.
These aren't just simple weekend scripts. They are intricate applications that required vast amounts of parallel exploration and agentic reasoning to function. The author bluntly admits that building these specific tools would have been completely economically irrational under standard API pricing. The cost of the compute would have far outweighed the value of the software.
That is a staggering realization. Think about that for a second. Entire products, entire tools, and potentially entire businesses exist in the world right now purely because this compute subsidy exists.
Right.
The developers didn't have to worry about the cost of the AI's labor, so they built things that simply wouldn't make business sense in a normal metered market.
But that leads to an inevitable cliff edge.
It has to, right. This is a land grab price, not a sustainable equilibrium price. The venture capital will eventually demand a return. The free lunch has to end.
And the author of the field notes acknowledges that harsh reality head on. They clearly state that this window of unconstrained flat fee compute will close.
It's just a matter of time.
Eventually, the Max Plan's economics will have to shift toward profitability. We will likely see the subscription price skyrocket, or the introduction of severe hidden usage caps, or complex tiering systems that throttle power users.
So the era of the 40 to 50x value multiplier is a fleeting anomaly.
Completely fleeting, which makes the actionable advice for you, the listener, incredibly clear. Exploit this subsidized window while it physically exists.
Yeah, we are living in a rare temporary bubble in tech history. You currently have access to Opus-class artificial intelligence operating at effectively unlimited volume for the cost of a cheap monthly subscription.
It's wild when you say it out loud.
It really is. If you have an idea, if you have software to build or systems to design, right now is the moment to burn that compute.
The builders who recognize this market anomaly are moving aggressively. They are shipping real, complex products and utilizing billions of tokens of AI labor on someone else's dime.
Getting ahead while the getting is good.
Exactly. By acting now, they are securing a massive six-month head start on their competitors, who will eventually be forced to build similar products while paying full, agonizing API prices. It is the ultimate first-mover advantage, completely bankrolled by the platform providers themselves.
It is a phenomenal opportunity, and I think this is so important. It also raises a deeply unsettling question, and it's the thought I want to leave you with today.
Okay, lay it on us.
In the field notes, the author mentions that because of this incredible flat fee subsidy, software is becoming disposable and the agent economy is forming.
Right.
Developers are getting entirely too comfortable spinning up an AI that burns 3 billion tokens in a single afternoon just to casually test an idea. We have a growing ecosystem of creators who treat top-tier AI reasoning as an infinite free resource.
They're taking it for granted.
Completely. Yep. But if developers are building entire businesses, tool sets, and daily workflows that fundamentally rely on an AI taking billions of expensive tokens to think of what happens to all those disposable software businesses, the exact moment the meter gets turned back on.
That is the multi-billion dollar question.
Will the much-hyped agent economy crash before it even fully takes off simply because the true cost of artificial thought is suddenly revealed? Think about that all-you-can-eat Wagyu beef buffet we talked about at the beginning.
Right. It's absolutely delicious while it lasts.
You can eat like a king. But what happens to your appetite in your business when management finally locks the doors, hands you the real bill, and demands you pay for every single bite you've already swallowed?
That's going to be a tough check to pay.
It really is. Until next time, keep diving deep.